We just sang the words, "For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast." What's the foundation of that love? We know that from before the foundation of the world, God is love and was eternally loving the other, and his love for us comes from the overflow of his love. And he will hold us fast, not only because he loves us eternally, but because he finishes the work that he starts. We'll look into that this morning. Good to have you here this morning. We'll let the kids all get to their check-in places and parents back in the room. But it's good to see drywall going up on the walls in here, isn't it? It's just kind of wonderful. I trust you noticed that when you came in. I don't know how you could not notice that. And if you want a little fun experiment after our worship service is done and you have time to fellowship with one another, you could go over and you could just place your hands on the cement block wall and then go place your hands on the drywalled wall. The cement block wall feels like a refrigerator door open. And the drywall wall feels like, I don't know, warm and cuddly. So we thanks to Peter Coons and John Glupker has helped him, but taking that on. Obviously, we've got a facility that we're constructing out to the front of our building, and we hope to get moving on that in the months ahead and hope to have an early spring and get going and seeing the construction go up and the facility out toward the road. But in the meantime, we've got projects that we're starting to tackle inside, including the finishing of the walls in here, and so you'll see that go on in the next few weeks, and grateful for that. But it's also, you ever notice that unfinished projects are really unsettling? Any of you know that? Unfinished things are just kind of disturbing. We would be disturbed if 5 years from now, the foundation out front still looks like it looks right now. We'd be disturbed by that. I had an interesting experience this week. We had someone come off the road in front of our facility, and they took the third and middle driveway, which isn't really a driveway. It's the construction driveway for the construction people to come in and out, and this person thought it was an actual driveway and whipped into our driveway and thought the front yard was a parking lot and found themselves quickly stuck in mud up to their axles. And unfinished projects can be very problematic to a lot of people. And so turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, the very first page in your Bible or the first page of your biblical text, Genesis chapter 1. We've been here for the last 2 weeks, and we have been really flying through the text. We've covered the first 10 words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. To just briefly review where we've come, that's where we've started and where we are now. In the beginning, we asked the question, in the beginning, God, well, what God? And we said, the only God who is. We're reading about Jesus. We're reading about the Father and the Son, co-creators of the universe. All things were made by Him and for Him and through Him. All things hold together. We're reading about the eternal, singular God who dwells forever in plurality in a relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're reading about a personal, relational God who is the foundation of all reality. Nothing makes sense apart from Him. This is the God that we're reading about. He's not tangential, He is foundational. In the beginning, God. Well, if He was in the beginning and He existed before the beginning, what was He like then before the foundation of the world? And what was He doing before creation? And from the scripture last week, we learned that God was eternally loving the other and enjoying His own glory. And God was planning from before the foundation of the world on sharing His love and revealing His glory to the objects of His creation. So that's what we've been learning so far. God is personal and relational. He is eternal and for forever. He was loving the other and enjoying His glory and planning on sharing His love and revealing His glory to the objects of His creation. And we said last week, that's very interesting because mankind made in God's image, what mankind most desires, to be loved and to experience glory, well, God's enjoyed that forever. God's enjoyed that forever. loving the other and enjoying His glory and planning on that. We said that God has never been alone and He's never been dissatisfied. He is love, He is glorious, and He has chosen to reveal His love and share His love and reveal His glory to the objects of His creation, and He's done that from before the foundation of the world. So that's where we've been. In the beginning, God, the personal, relational God who is love and who is glorious. This is the God we're learning about. This is the God we're reading about. This is the God that we trust and believe. He has revealed Himself in His Word so that He might be known and worshiped and enjoyed forever. And this is the God that we come to know through His own self-disclosure. Completely awesome. Well, this morning, Lord willing, we'll press into the next 16 words. But before we do that, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of You, for truly You are awesome and glorious. When we sing about Your love for us, we come to remind ourselves that that love spans before time. From all eternity, You have set Your affections upon us in choosing Your Son, and Your Son willingly submitting Himself to Your will to come and display Your love and be a gift of Your love and sacrifice Himself as an object of Your love to reveal Your justice in paying for sin and to provide salvation and in our forgiveness and to provide for our life and eternal life, our union with You through His own resurrection life. So we stand in awe of You, and we want to learn more of You as we read Your Word. It is living, it is powerful, it is active, and so we pray that it would be that way for us this morning, that our hearts and minds would be attuned and attentive to it, and that You would reveal Yourself to us in Your Word, and that we would stand in awe of You and worship You and come to know You and believe You and take You at Your Word, believe Your promises, and see in the face of Your Son, Jesus Christ, Your glory as You transform us from glory to glory. So do Your work in our midst and in our own lives individually and in this church corporately this morning, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I've had you open in the Bible. You can look at those opening words in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Now, that's not what we thought the text would say. Those of us who've read our Bible for years and have read these verses for years, we're familiar, we know that this is where the text is going, but if we were to read it for the first time, and we'd say, in the beginning, God, this God who is loving and glorious, He sets about His creative work, and it's formless, empty, and dark, you've got to be kidding me. We would think that the text would say, well, this loving, glorious God sets about His creative work, He creates the heavens and the earth was shaped, and it was beautiful, and it was full of light, absolutely glorious. That's what we thought the text would say, or that's what we would expect, but that's not what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Those of us who know the Scripture, or those of us who are just familiar with reality in general, we know that things without form and void and dark, these are not good things. They're not good in any way. Formless things are not definable. They're not understandable. They're not measurable. What do you do with a formless thing? Empty things, things that are void, are not desirable or valuable. Darkness equates with inability, an inability to see, to perceive, to know, to understand. Darkness is debilitating. When you walk into a dark room, even if it's your own house, and the lights are all off and it's dark, even if you're familiar with the territory, you have a good opportunity of busting a shin or tripping over someone's shoes or stepping on someone's toy or hitting the bed a little sooner than you thought you'd hit the bed. You go into a dark room and you want the light to go on so that you can see. Formless things, empty things, darkness, this is not good. Biblically speaking, we know that darkness is equated with Satan and sin and death and ignorance and judgment. We know that. So that's why we wouldn't expect to read this and it says, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and it was without form and void and dark. Well, how are we to understand this? How are we to grapple with this? Let me give you a couple of things to consider this morning. One of them is speculative and the other one is certain. Some speculate that between verse 1 and 2, what took place was the rebellion of Satan and the fall of angels that followed him, and this plunged the initial creation of the heavens and earth into an empty void that was meaningless and dark. This rebellion and fall of the angels plunged the initial heavens and earth into chaos and darkness. That's why it says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. We know from the scripture that the angels are created beings. They did not exist eternally like God did. They were created by God. They were not made in God's image as we are, but yet they were created by Him. We also know from the scripture, and I won't take you to these passages this morning, but we know that angels were created before the creation account, before the creation week. And we know that because the angels worshiped God while He went about His work of creation. So we know that angels are created. We know they were created before this creation account. We know that they were created to worship God and to serve Him. We know from the Bible that they were given realms of authority and administration. Some of them are named, Lucifer being one of them, who is now Satan. We know that he became filled with pride and jealousy and sought God's throne and sought to dethrone God, led an unsuccessful rebellion against God, and a number of the angels joined with him in that rebellion, and they became wicked and evil, and they were cast out, and we know that the earth is now the realm of their operations, at least some of them. We know this from the scripture. We know that they were created. We know that they fell. We know that there was a rebellion. We know that they operate here, and we know quite a bit about the angels. We know quite a bit about Satan and his fallen angels. And maybe that rebellion took place between verse 1 and 2. And their fall resulted in the initial heavens and earth becoming meaningless, void, and dark. But we're speculating at that because we don't know. There's things that we do know, but it doesn't exactly tell us that this is when that fall happened. We know it did happen before Genesis chapter 3, because that's when Satan shows up in the biblical text. So we could piece that together, and we can theorize that that is why the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. That we could speculate there, but what do we know for certain? Because this is where we really want to hang our hat, right? The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever. What's been revealed? What do we know for sure? Well, this is what we know for sure, and I'll give it to you, and then we'll look it back into the text. What we know for sure is where God begins His work isn't where God ends His work. And so if I had a PowerPoint slide, that would be the PowerPoint slide this morning. We know for certain that where God begins His work isn't where God ends His work. We know that God finishes the work that He begins, and where it ends is far better. Okay, we're going to develop that this morning. Where God begins His work isn't where He ends His work. God always finishes what He starts, and where it ends is far better than where it begins. You got that? Okay, look back in the text. I'll show why we know this for certain. If you read back in the text, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be..." Wow, that was really weak. "And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening and the morning of the first day, and God said, let there be an expanse," and we could read on, and we see God speaking things into existence, bringing about creation. God said, "Let there be heavens and earth, and sea and dry land, and vegetation, and planets, and stars, and fish, and birds, and the animal kingdom, and ultimately mankind," and at the end, God said, "This is good. And this is very good." So I'll go back to what I said when we started. Where God begins His work isn't where God ends His work. And God always finishes what He starts, and where it ends is always better. God forms that which is formless. And God fills that which is empty. And God enlightens that which is dark. In other words, God brings shape to formless things. God fills and gives value to things that are void and meaningless. And God speaks light into the dark, and there is light, and it is good. So what we know for certain, we can speculate about the angels and when their fall happened, and maybe their fall plunged the initial heavens and earth into this void, meaningless darkness. Well, maybe. But what we know for certain is that where God begins isn't where he ends. And God finishes what he starts, and where it ends, it is far better. If we were to continue reading through the scripture from beginning to end, we would know that God is glorified in creation. I read that as we began the service this morning, Psalms 19. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. We know that God is glorified in creation. We also know that God is glorified in recreation. God is glorified in making things new out of nothing, and God is also glorified when he takes things that are broken and damaged and repairs them. The heavens declare the glory of God, and sinners reconciled to God and forgiven, becoming new creations, they declare his glory. And it's the song of the redeemed that is most glorifying to him. The rocks, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, they might call out and declare his praise, and certainly they do, but it is his children who were lost and now found declaring his praises that is the most delightful experience to him. So God is glorified in making things from nothing and bringing them into existence. God is glorified in creation, and God is glorified in taking what is broken and salvaging it and remaking it and making it new. So if perchance something messed up God's initial creation in verse 1, making it meaningless, void, and dark, or if that's just where God began things, that was just his blank canvas where he started, what we know for certain is that is not where he ended. And we know that God is glorified in creation, and God is glorified in recreation. Where God begins isn't where God ends. And God finishes what he starts. And where he ends his work, it's far better. Okay, that's the message. I've repeated that now numerous times. We're going to keep thinking through that a little bit more this morning. We're going to think through it personally, and then we're going to think through it globally. Personally, if God has begun a good work in you, and there are many here whom God has begun a good work in. If God has begun a good work in you, and you think back to where God began his work, you're not now where you once were. And God's not done with you yet. And where you are now is not where he's going to end his work in you, and where he ends his work in you is far better. Amen. Thank you, Joyce. My cheerleader from the back row. People who hear God's word. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me and I give unto them eternal life and they follow me. People who hear God's word, the God who speaks and there is light and light is good. People who hear God, that from before time, God was loving and glorious. And in time, he gave his love in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and revealed his glory at the cross and in the resurrection where Jesus paid for sin and provided for salvation. And then today, God adopts into his own family those who repent of their sin and believe on Jesus. People who hear this God and hear God's word and believe this good news and repent of their sin and trust in Jesus, according to the scripture, it says they become new creations. They're given new life. The old is gone. The new has come. They've been born again. So if you've believed God and trusted in Jesus and have been brought into this vital union with God, then you know that where God began his work in you is not where you now are, nor is it where you will end. Because your salvation is more than just forgiveness and a ticket to heaven, it is now a life in union with God. And he is living and alive, and his word is powerful and active. And where he started in you is not where he is ending with you. That's really good news. The promise that God completes what he begins, that is a glorious promise. Because if it were left up to me, I wouldn't make it. And we sang that this morning, whether you believed it or not. He will hold me fast, For my, because my loves me so, he will hold me fast. And that love for us, as we said, spans before time and goes on into eternity. God grows and matures. He shapes and enlightens his own children, his own new creations. He shapes and enlightens them with his word. He grows and matures them throughout life through a variety of trials and experiences and through the body of Christ growing together. And God's children go from one degree of glory to another as they behold Jesus. And it's remarkable. Where God began his work isn't where he ends his work, but he finishes what he starts, and where he ends it is absolutely beautiful. So you start thinking through this personally. You start thinking through this message personally. What God finds dead, he makes alive. And what he finds blind, he opens eyes. And what he finds deaf, he opens ears. And when he finds people broken, he goes to work on salvaging them. He purchases them and he repairs them and he disciplines his children so that they might share in his glory, and they are his work, and he gives them work to do, and they mature in the participation. So you can think through this personally. If God has begun a good work in you, he keeps at it, and he finishes the work that he starts, and the end is far more glorious than the beginning. That's personal. Let's think through this globally. Let's think through this bigger. Let's think through this universally. And I'll go really easy here. I would challenge you this afternoon, if you want a really encouraging project, and it won't take you very long, just read the first two chapters of your Bible. I realize that's a big project. We've only covered the first 16 words, or 26 words. But read the first two chapters of your Bible that declare to us God's creative work. And then go read the last two chapters of your Bible. So read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and then go and read Genesis chapter 21 and 22. And you will discover that the new heavens and the new earth are far more exceptional than the first heaven and the first earth. Yeah, Lynn and I, we love to do outdoor stuff. And you know that. We love to go backpacking. We like to go on multi-day bike trips. And we love to spend time out in God's creation. And it is absolutely glorious. We look at his handiwork and say, isn't this awesome? And it reflects and reveals a God who is glorious. God's creative work is amazing. But if you think God's creative work is amazing, go read about the new heavens and new earth, because they're far more exceptional than the first heaven and first earth. Think through this. What begins in a garden ends in a city. And what begins with dust and mud ends with streets of gold. What begins with nakedness ends with robes and mansions of glory. What begins with two people ends with a countless multitude worshiping God around his throne and experiencing his glory. What begins with sin possible ends with sin no more. Where God used to once visit, God now dwells. Where things used to be broken, all things will be new. Where the curse has come, the curse will be no more. There's nothing dark, shapeless, meaningless in the new heaven and the new earth. See, where God begins isn't where he ends. And God always finishes what he starts. And the end is more glorious than the beginning. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. And he who began a good work in this world will bring it to a flourishing finish when Jesus Christ returns, reveals the Father's glory, consummates the salvation. I don't know. Some of you, I mentioned this in the early service, it's rather interesting. Many people in the early service actually knew what I was talking about. That's not all that surprising, I hope. But if you've ever traveled down I-75 and then it connects with US 23 and you leave the state and you head down in Ohio, and so you're on US 23 going through Ohio heading south, there used to be, and I haven't seen it now in a while, but I haven't been down that way in a good while, but there used to be a big house on the east side of the road that was partially completed. Oh, some of you are like, yeah, we've seen that house. It's a rather big house. And it got about three quarters of the way done, and it just stopped, and that's probably at least a decade ago. And so now you drive by that thing, and here's this half-finished house that's been hanging in there now for a decade, and you go by that, and you're like, that stinks. That's a bummer. What happened there? Did they not count the cost? Run out of money? did some crisis happen? You know, was there a divorce there? Did they face some type of financial downturn, lose their job? I mean, what in the world happened? Whenever you see something that's unfinished, you just go, ah, that stinks. It's kind of like this wall over here, half done. Foundation out front, not built upon. If it stayed that way for a decade, we'd be bumming. See, things that aren't finished, it's no good. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Well, that stinks. Maybe that's just where God started. All I know, as you read on, God finishes what he starts, and the end is more glorious than the beginning. That's really good news. A couple of applications, and then I'll close. I think my time is spent. First one is rather unusual, but I take you back to where we kind of started. We together can thank God for the angels. God did create them, and they preceded us, and they are before us, but yet they're not made in God's image. We are, and we're more like God than they are, and yet we'll judge them. And there's a lot about the angels. I think I'm going to return there next week. And I think it just is a unique opportunity for us to do this. We don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about the angels. They are ministering servants who serve those who inherit salvation. That's fascinating. They were created before us. They worship God in his creative acts. They play a massive role in God sharing his love and revealing his glory. And so I think I might swing back to them next week because there's things that we can learn from them. They will we'll be instructed, we'll be inspired, but even more so, what God does for them and doesn't do for them and what God does for us will blow you away. But at least this morning I say we can thank God for the angels that preceded us and worshiped him. But second, and probably more importantly as it relates to the message this morning, is just the fact that if God has begun a good work in you, if God has begun a good work in you, you know that you're not where you started, but you also can know that you're not where God is taking you. And where God begins his work, he finishes, and the end is more glorious than the start. So you can praise God for that. And praise God for his faithfulness to himself and to his word and to his children. He won't fail. Nor will he leave us incomplete. It's really good news. If you're here this morning, you're like, well, God has never begun a good work in me, then I would ask, well, why are you resisting his spirit? I'll say, Stephen, why would you resist his Holy Spirit? Because God has spoken in his word, his written word, and in his son, and God has provided what is necessary for your salvation and for your union with him. So why today won't you trust in his provision and receive Christ as your Savior, and God will begin a good work in you? He adopts into his own family everyone who comes to him through Jesus Christ. That's a glorious good news. So if God hasn't begun a good work in you today, I would say, well, why not? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Come to God through Jesus Christ. He will have you as his own. If God has begun a good work in you, think back through. Where did you start? Where are you now? And where is God taking you? This is a great place to live. Right in the middle of God's agenda. Right in the center of God's plan. Knowing that he'll take it to a flourishing finish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have so much to learn of you from your word. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for your spirit that opens our eyes that we might see Christ in the text. Father, we thank you for all that you've done on our behalf. We thank you for all that you've promised to do on our behalf. And we thank you for your faithfulness to your word, to your own, and to your children. Father, continue to grow us as your people in faith, in obedience, in grace, in love for you and in love for one another. And may the exercise of our love for one another be a demonstration to the world that you love us, and you've called us to be your disciples. Father, we thank you that you'll do beyond what we expect or imagine, and that you'll finish the work, and it's more glorious at the end. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.